Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman,
just like Jimmy did when he wrote the song or when he sang the song. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Bob Dylan who wrote it, isn't it? Bob Dylan's poetry is wonderful. Really amazing. But the lyrics are astounding in light of the fact that right now there's an awful lot of confusion and there must be some way out of here, only I don't know what it is. But according to Jennifer Harper of the Washington Times, the headline is Only Queen Elizabeth II Can Fix This. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I have some news that I cannot share with you. I took the day off to work with my attorneys, both local and in Britain. And it's reaching a point that this story is as big as the Dreyfus affair, only you don't know it yet. I cannot disclose at this time, not yet, what we found through discovery. But I have discovered, my attorneys through the Freedom of Information Act 2000, has discovered things about my being banned in England that should put a chill through your heart. It doesn't matter what your political orientation is. We're dealing with a very dangerous situation. I cannot disclose it, as I say to you, for obvious reasons, not right now. I wish I could. I thought I was going to do it until 8 minutes ago when I was asked, please hold off, just hold off for a few days now. But what we have discovered through discovery will put a chill through every fair-minded American. What's even more shocking is that I believe we have discovered that there are other talk show hosts on the ban list, only they don't know it. That's correct. Let me repeat that. And I hope that Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, and the hemorrhoid with ears listens very carefully. You may be on the ban list in England, but you don't know it. And woe be you if it turns out that you did not come to my aid because you don't have the decency, you don't have the brains, you don't have the genius to understand that by defending me, you were defending yourself. I try to tell you that it would be about others than me. We don't know who they are, but we're going to find out, we think, who they are. But I can just tell you right now, without disclosing anything more, one of the emails found in the discovery process indicates that there are others on the list who are in the talk radio business. And I'll let you know more about it in the next few days. It's going to set off a shockwave through the British government, through the American government, and through the American media. All of the spineless vermin in the American media who did nothing. You know what's killing me here? You got a black college professor named Henry Louis Gates Jr. who is trying to break into his own home because he left his keys in there. A neighbor calls and says someone's breaking into his house. Cop comes. The guy says, no, don't worry, it's my house. The cop says, let me see your ID. The black professor gets nasty with the cop, according to all reports, and says, I'll something with your mama. The cop and he have other words. He arrests the black professor for disturbing the peace, and it's turned into an international incident. While a talk show host in America is banned from an entire nation, and none of the department store dummies or dumbettes will touch the story in the midstream media. Only Queen Elizabeth II can fix this, according to Jennifer Harper of the Washington Times. And now I'll read her article. Only Queen Elizabeth II can fix this, she says, in Inside the Beltway just released. Press reports that Britain is making nice with radio host Michael Savage are greatly exaggerated. Some accounts insisted Mr. Savage was now welcome in Britain after being placed on an undesirables list of terrorists and criminals 3 months ago by then Home Secretary Jackie Smith, who accused them of fomenting hate. Not so. Mr. Savage's nationally syndicated program is heard weekly by 8 to 10 million listeners, says he's still on the list. His lawsuit against Ms. Smith is still on, and he still pines for a proper mea culpa. Quote, here is what he said. I feared this. The Labour government will not yet admit they made a big mistake enlisting me alongside actual murderers. Talk is not murder. Murdering a reputation, is that murder or defamation? Mr. Savage tells me. Quote, they leave me no option except to pursue my defamation complaint against Jackie Smith. In time, I will clear my name, receive an apology for the British government or the Queen, deliver a speech before the British Parliament, and present the British people the gift of freedom of speech, for which their forefathers died. By my example, they will see how far their own nation has fallen under the rule of these solenterates. Mr. Savage says, solenterates are jellyfish, incidentally, for those of you who didn't read Animals Without Backbones. All this while the fiscal ruin of the Western world beckons, according to Ambrose Evans Pritchard. He says, for a glimpse of what awaits Britain, Europe, and America as budget deficits spiral to wartime levels, look at what is happening to the Irish welfare state. Fiscal ruin of the Western world beckons. These anti-democratic vermin who run these countries, who run our countries, these socialist laborites in this country and in England, in Ireland, it doesn't matter where, the very same poisonous individuals who will target a man for his political beliefs and or for his race and or for his religion, these same vermin have bankrupted the very nations that they claim to be ruling and leading. Do you have to go any further than Obama, who gave a speech this afternoon or early this evening trying to sell you on an unsupportable, unsustainable health care revision? A health reform bill that will bring devastation across the land like locusts eating away at the corn and wheat crops. If you released a trillion locusts across the cornfields of the Midwest, you couldn't do more harm than Obama has already done to the banking, financial, and auto industries. And now this incompetent neo-Marxist boob wants to devastate the greatest healthcare profession the world has ever seen. He wants the government to provide healthcare. He wants to provide healthcare to illegal aliens who do not belong here, who are not citizens, who have not contributed to the healthcare of this nation. They pay no taxes, and yet Obama and Schumer and Reid and Pelosi want to award them with the greatest reward in the world, which is a great healthcare system. And these are the same people who have chosen to do nothing for Michael Savage? I want to go back to a case of a year or two ago when George Bush did nothing for Ramos and Campi and the two Border Patrol agents who were unfairly picked upon. Now, remember them. They were U.S. Border Patrol agents. They were doing their job. They caught a drug smuggler who was trying to flee back into Mexico, and they shot him in the behind, for which they were given 12-year sentences. Over 100 members of the U.S. Congress circulated a petition demanding that they be pardoned. Bush would not budge until his last day in office. Remember, they were in jail for almost a year? But I want to remind you that almost 100 senators and congressmen signed a letter to the president demanding that they be released from prison and pardoned. Ask yourself why not one Republican congressman, not one Republican senator has lifted a quill to get my name off that list in the United Kingdom. They are our representatives. They are U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen. Where is Rohrabacher? Where is Jeff Sessions? Where is DeMint? Where are the people who claim to be so-called Republicans who represent supposedly an opposition to the Obama neo-Marxism? Why have they not lifted a finger to help me? Ask yourself that question. And while you're doing so, I'll be right back. Play play Jimmy a little bit on the Savage Nation. Sometimes he's the right man for the time. You know, I'm basically a free spirit. I'm a fun-loving person inside. I like to be, think of Charlie Chaplin on his day off. I like to walk around with my cane and top hat and look at the world. I like to lyrically poke my head into restaurants and stores in North Beach, San Francisco, California, USA, circa 2009, and say hello to old friends, new friends, ask them how the family is. I like to see a bum puking in the street, so I know how good the mayor is. I like to witness the decline and fall of civilization. I like to eat bad calamari and spaghetti at night in an out-of-the-way place that I shouldn't have gone into. I like to do those things, but today is not the kind of day I can even get into a lyrical mood because my head is just locked around what I just discovered. Now, many of you are following this case with very great interest for obvious reasons because there's a lot more at stake than just one egomaniacal talk show host. You understand that. You understand that there's more at stake than Michael Savage. But what you don't understand is I just got information today that I was told 10 minutes ago, please, they're begging me, do not disclose what you have in your hand. I was going to do it. I was going to go on the air with the discovery process that finally came out. But for reasons that I can't disclose to you right now, but I will disclose to you within a few days, you're going to understand how big this case really is. It is as big as the Dreyfus affair. I believe that I can say with all honesty that other American talk show hosts are on the ban list, only they don't know it, and they were not named for reasons which I will disclose by next Monday, let's say. And if it turns out that they are on the list, what is that going to say about Limbaugh, Hannity, and the others who would not come to my aid? But let's go back to the U.S. Congress. They came to the aid of Ramos and Campion, who were unfairly accused of this and that, and they put him in jail. I'm not in jail. I'm not on Devil's Island, but I'm in exile. I'm in a sort of limbo. I'm in exile here. They put me in limbo. They put me in exile. They put me in danger. Why is Congress not helping me? Where is the RNC? Where is Mr. Steele? Where is Mr. Rohrabacher? Where are all of these people who want your votes? They're nowhere to be found. Al in Nevada, go ahead, please. Al, why is there a Republican Party silent on this issue?
Simple. Everything you say is perfectly accurate and is right, but you can't help them get reelected, so you become irrelevant to them.
No, but the opposite is true. You're wrong. The opposite is true. I'm the reason the Republican Party is unelected. I'm the reason that nobody voted. I took the independents to listen to my show, and I said, "Niet, no, nein, nada." To the Republican Party. I said George Bush killed the Republican Party. I ran a drumbeat against the Republican Party for a year, and I took the independents away from them. I could send the independents back to them if they showed a scintilla of conservatism.
But you don't represent the independents. You represent conservatives. And everything.
Well, hold on. How many, amongst the independents, how many are conservative? What percent? Let's assume that 35 to 40% of the voters in America are independents, which is the last estimate I saw, about 40%. Let's make it even 40%. What percent of the independents are conservative?
I don't know.
I would suspect that it's larger than 50% of the independents are conservative. They have nowhere to go. The liberals have somewhere to go. They've got the neo-Marxist Obama elected. He is a liberal, so they have somewhere to go. So what do you mean by an independent? An independent is a disenfranchised Republican who saw no conservatism. I'd say it's closer to 80% of independents are conservative. The Republicans have nowhere to go but to me. You're wrong. You're 100% wrong. It's only by ignoring my plight that they're digging themselves deeper into the mud. Houston, Texas. Jacob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I just think it's disgraceful. Like, these news media people, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, seem like great people. Why aren't they mentioning you? I mean, it just makes them look like an idiot. It's the biggest story in a decade, and nobody has ever mentioned your name, and it just makes me so mad.
Well, there's a few reasons. I'm a competitor to them in the same business that they are in, so it'd be like Avis not mentioning Hertz or whatever. I understand that. From a purely commercial point of view, I totally understand it. Also, I have called them names over the years because they are deserving of being called names. But putting that aside,
putting both of those points aside, this is a news story. This is bigger news than having a chef on or a teenager with diabetes on Fox News. This is bigger than having some slut from Hollywood on Fox News making believe she's telling the news. It's a news story. It's a nation that banned a man in the media. This goes beyond the man. It becomes, why would a nation ban anybody in the American media? Where's the American media?
It just makes me sick. No, and yet still nobody mentions it. It's just insanity. I mean,
well, I mention it, and I'm going to mention it until my name is off the list. And then I'm going to go to the next step. Okay, thank you. It may turn out that they're going to have to mention it very soon for their own self-interest. If it is disclosed that they are also on this list, which I at this time have reason to believe some of them are. I have reason to believe. I didn't say I know for sure. We're going to try to find that out. If it turns out that they, too, are on the list of banned individuals in England, how will that make them look is the question. Don't call me on it. I know what it's going to do. But where is the Republican Party? Are they not our representatives? Do they not represent the American people, or do they represent the Republican Party? I think that's pretty clear that they represent the Republican Party, not the American people. Just as the Democrat Party represents Democrat interests, not the interests of the American people. Great article, Fiscal Ruin of the Western World Beckons, by Ambrose Evans Pritchard. And what is happening in Ireland, the welfare state, is going to come to America as sure as I'm sitting here. And that is cutting back on welfare, cutting back on public assistance, cutting back on payments to civil servants. Unemployment is going through the roof. They're cutting education by 8%. Rural schools are closing. Teachers, equivalent to a million teachers, are being fired in Ireland. They can't afford them. Is this something that we want to happen? No. We don't want to see the teachers get it. They should be the last to go. It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. The illegal aliens broke the bank. They're nice people. We admire their family values. We admire their hard work. They destroyed America. The illegal aliens broke the American fiscal system in half. And they did it because the vermin in the Democrat and Republican Party profited by the illegal aliens working for next to nothing.
Savage.
Sure, it's an easy thing. What the heck? It's all for ratings. He doesn't believe a word he says. He's really a liberal. Sure. It's all an act. Everything's an act. The only people who believe that are people who have no beliefs. They figure the other man has no beliefs, and they project their own lack of substance on the next guy. So anyway, here we are. So I was on the air Monday. Today's Wednesday, right? I took off yesterday to talk to lawyers and strategize. After the show, I go to Supercuts to get a haircut. And I'm going to bring it back to politics. Don't worry about it. Supercuts is doing good because who's going to pay $50 for the same haircut you can get for $20, right? I go in. Aren't they nice people? They don't speak English very well. They're Vietnamese. And I say to her, can you do a Caesar cut? Because I wanted to try the Caesar. I said, can you do a Caesar cut? She says, yes, will you, Caesar? I said, no, no. I said, can you do a Caesar cut? Yes, yes, she says, we do scissor cut. She picks up the scissors. I said, no, Caesar cut. And I try to show with my hands, forward, forward. She says, yes, yes. She gets mad at me. We do Caesar cut. I said, Julius Caesar was a Roman emperor. And then I stopped right there. I realized this isn't. Now, this is the problem with immigration in America. They're nice people. But when people are not encouraged to speak the language, you wind up living in an insane universe. And it lowers the IQ of the nation, goes down and down and down. Doesn't mean they're bad people at all. You understand? They're probably nicer people than the average person. There are nice people. We understand. They're nice people. But now we have a meltdown that you could trace right back to President Jimmy Carter. Why do I say that? How did this happen? Fannie and Freddie Mac were created by the government during the Great Depression to make a second market for mortgages in order to create the velocity, in order to increase the liquidity of mortgages. In other words, it allowed banks to lend more by buying mortgages from banks so the banks could then lend money out again. So they created Freddie and Fannie to take away mortgages so the banks could lend more money. But The underwriting guidelines for those mortgages were extremely strict to reduce collapse and to reduce exposure to the U.S. taxpayer. Then, in the 70s, along comes the communist Jimmy Carter, and they wanted more funding for inner-city mortgages. In other words, they wanted unqualified minorities and unqualified minorities to get mortgages for houses they couldn't afford or qualify for and get money for business loans. So what Carter did was they changed the lending ratio. They said you have to lend more to minorities. And if the government saw that this ratio of minority lending was not sufficient, the government restricted the loans made in prime mortgages that the government entities would buy. So they punished the banks if they didn't lend money to unqualified minorities. You want me to go on with the naked truth? Next came the Clinton administration. And again, they altered the underwriting rules, again increasing the amount of money going into the inner cities, again making sure more money went into minorities. And let me pause right here. Most of it was not going into the hands of minorities, although it was written by good liberals to make sure that minorities got more money. Many, many rich white people were using minority fronts and women fronts to get this money. You know it and I know it. So the very same people who were on the top to begin with were making more money, hand over fist. Then, so the Clinton administration changes the underwriting rules to increase the ratio even further. What's happened now? What's happened now is that Obama has rewritten the rules again. Because they bring along on the Bush, Barney Frank, before Obama came along, and Barney Frank forces the banks to lend money to unqualified illegal aliens, unqualified minorities, unqualified whites, and the banks, if they don't do it, they get punished. And the banks also know, why shouldn't we write the loan to them? Because it's going to be off my books in 4 months anyway. The government's going to take it away from me. And then the good banks, who were not in the subprime market, was pushed out of the prime lending market by other lenders that would capitalize on the economy of scales of both. You get it? The government, in other words, destroyed the banking industry with this predatory enforcement of loans. So they asked Fannie and Freddie. And why did the government do it? Did they like black people that much? Did the government do it because they actually cared about black people? Did the government do it because they really loved illegal aliens and really thought that it would be nice if they all had a house? The answer is politics. They bought votes. They bought the votes of minorities this way. And that is how the Democrats, who fundamentally do not represent the American people at all, they do not represent the American people or the American way. The Democrat Party today represents the Soviet Union. The Soviet system of government is what Charles Schumer stands for today. By the way, he just killed a gun bill that would have permitted reciprocity between 48 states. It would have been great for self-defense. Charles Schumer has just done something that Adolf Hitler would be proud of. It was Hitler who seized guns in 31, 32, 33, rather. Schumer, you're in good league, my friend. Big Shoe Schumer. So now we're at a point where we have a problem that is almost insoluble. Inflation must come. The economy is stalled. Higher taxes are coming because the spending is on a scale no one has ever seen in the history of the world. You get it? And therefore, we don't know 10 years from now what the U.S. will look like. We don't know what it's going to be. More baby boomers require Social Security and Medicare to survive. Who is going to pay for it? Who is going to pay for this? Tell me how it's going to be paid for. Who's going to pay for illegal aliens' health care? How is it possible? How is it possible? How can you give health care to 30 million illegal aliens? That includes them and their families. How can you give them health care? Who's going to pay for it? Obama says you, the rich white people, are going to pay for it. Who's a rich white person? Today it's anyone making more than $250,000, $300,000. That's a couple. That's not rich, by the way. I can tell you right now that a couple living in any major city making about $250 to $300 comes home after taxes with, let's say they make $250. After taxes of all kinds, they come home with $125. That's not rich, my friends. They're barely keeping their head above water. So today it's them. Tomorrow it's you. Then they lower it to $100,000 and above. Your taxes are going to go through the roof to pay for the illegal alien and the unqualified person. Where in the world does this end? Where does it end? Tell me where it ends. It doesn't end. So let's go to the callers. 1-800-449-8255. Las Vegas, Lynn, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I've held you up to God, and you are in my prayers, and I would just like to know what you would like the people to do, other than calling the senators and the representatives.
The senator, don't call senators. Don't waste your, do not waste an electron on your local senator or congressman. You may as well be living in a country without representation.
Absolutely.
You may as well be living in a nation without a parliament for what we have in this country today. We have lobbyists who talk to each other as though they're gentlemen and gentlemen. Will the gentle lady yield a moment? And this monster that you see, a subway pig, gets up and says, yeah, I'll yield, a subway monster. The subway monster, the gentle lady. Will the gentle lady on the other side please yield a minute? Yes, yes, the gentleman from the South has. Can you believe this kind of wooden rhetoric that you hear from these criminals? What can you do? Well, I thought on Monday I was going to tell you that, thank God, because of the contributions to the Savage Defense Fund, we're good, we're clear, we're out. You want to do something, go on to michaelsavage.com and take a look at the Savage Legal for the Savage Defense Fund and send $10, because I just found out that this is going to get much more expensive rather than much less expensive. I'm going to fight them in court, and I'm going to fight them in the court of public opinion. So if you want to make a contribution, I think this is the time to do it.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's all I can say. And I hate asking for money. I hate it. I just hate it. You have no idea how much I hate it. And, you know, all this stuff costs. You spend the whole day talking to four lawyers, run the hours, run the hourly rates. You understand it has to be done. They're doing their job. They have waited 3 months to get the Freedom of Information out of England. My lawyers in England, it took them 3 months to get an answer. And we have it now, page after page after page. I think there's something like 40-some-odd pages that were released to my attorneys, and I have a summary in my hand, which I thought I was going to disclose to you. I cannot. They finally got it. They finally got it, and you're not going to believe it, but I think that we have the evidence here that there are other talk show hosts on this list, but we're not sure yet. We're going to try to get, if there are other U.S. broadcasters who have been excluded from the U.K., we're going to try and get their names. So I have to pay for that. They're not paying for it. Support the Savage Legal Fund, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 111 Pacific Avenue, Box 135, San Fran, 94111. Savage Legal Fund, 110 Pacific Ave, Box 135, San Fran, 94111. And I can assure you, every dollar helps protect not only free speech, but a much bigger principle. I can assure you of that. So here we are. Texas. Randy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor. I just want to ask you, that have you considered making some provision that if something should, per se, an accident happen, this information is properly disseminated to the public, because you've done a great service to all of America and all of free speech?
Well, I don't even have the information. All of it's in my lawyer's hands, and there's three in England or five in England and two here who have it. I can guarantee you it's out of my hands at this point.
Okay. I think that would be something that would be very important to make sure that, if, God forbid.
You mean you want to know what's in the Freedom of Information packet that we got out of the English government, is what you're saying, right?
Yes. Should some accident or whatever.
No, I understand. I don't intend to go jogging in Marcy Park.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't jog in Marcy Park, if that's what you mean.
Wise move, sir.
Thank you. No, I hear you. I'm very cognizant of the wonderful people in the U.S. and British governments. I'm very cognizant of how they treat citizens who are more loyal than they are. I understand that. San Diego, Mayor, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, number one, I'd like to tell you, I think you have tremendous nobility, and I think you're a true aristocrat in every sense of the word. And furthermore, I think this is the most outrageous thing. And my fear, I'm petrified with fear, actually, if I'm to be honest with you. And I think we're going to end up like these soulless people, these gladiators in the public arena in old Rome, where they would raise their sword and say, "Hail Caesar," and die. That's the mentality I see in this country.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, when you hear words "feeding Christians to lions," you think it was a joke. It was the equivalent of the soulless Democrats of ancient Roman times who did that. They hate Christians. You know that, don't you? Now, I don't mean all Democrats hate Christians, because that would be an absurdity. But you know that the diehard socialist Democrat is an atheist, they're a statist, and they see the state as the temple, and they see Obama as God. You know that, don't you?
Right. That, I agree totally.
Correct. So Obama is an emperor to them. And anyone who opposes the emperor is an enemy of their state and their statism. And they would love to feed Christians to lions, because that's how they would get their pleasure. Now, let me tell you something. Metaphorically, they have fed this man to the lions of England. Do you understand that metaphor?
Yes, I do.
They have thrown me to the wolves. They have thrown me into a den of vipers. That's what they have done. It's getting harder for me to get up every morning and face this fight alone. I got to tell that to you. I'm not going to lie to you. If I said to you, I shall prevail, they're not getting to me, and put on a big face, I would be lying to you. I'm not getting desperate. I'm getting angrier by the day. And I don't like getting angry, because when I get angry, I start to do things I don't want to do. I say things I don't want to say. You understand that?
Intelligence. Never.
Well, I'm going to try to keep my head when all those around me are losing theirs and blaming it on me. Thank you very much. God bless America. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is game time on the Savage Nation. I figure we go from Jimi Hendrix to the All-American pastime, since most of you have your hats on backwards. And you listen to me simply for entertainment. I figured I would entertain you with a summertime sounder. I guess within an hour, our great leader, the emperor himself, will try to sell the neo-Marxist-Stalinist health bill that will bring us Cuban-style health care, where the clinics will be empty of medication, the doctors will have dirty smocks, and they will be trained in substandard medical schools across the globe. No one's even talked about the quality of the doctors that we're going to have. They keep talking about, will health care be available? And will it be like Canada or Britain? Well, I'd say it could be also like Cuba. It's not entirely going to melt down. I talked to my doctor the other day, and I asked him. He said he thinks that he's still going to be able to practice. He is a man, distinguished gentleman, who ran a whole department at a major league university. He said, and I don't know the ins and outs of it. I really don't. We had an expert on last week who said that you won't be able to change your doctor going forward. No one really knows. Let's put it to you that way. He told me, and he's a very nice man, that the reason Hillary Care failed is because it eliminated private doctors. You had to go through a government plan. And he said that the Obama medical plan is different in that you are allowed to keep your doctor. Now, I don't know if that's true, because I heard one thing last week, and I heard another thing from my distinguished doctor friend yesterday. I don't know what's true. That's part of the problem. If the plan is sound and it's good, they should wait 6 months until everyone had a chance to look through it, take out the obvious flaws, take out the spending insanities, and okay, go with it if that's what you want. Certainly don't give illegal aliens health care. What sense does that make? Who ever heard of giving health care to illegal aliens? I never heard of anything like this. Oh, sure, we're throwing that into, why? Because we need their votes? So I don't know what the truth is with regard to whether you can keep your doctor. Nobody knows. You know, nobody really knows. There's other stories we could talk about as well. San Diego, John, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation. I'm glad you're calling about the F-22. Go ahead, please.
Yes. What a pleasure and an honor to speak to you, Dr. Savage.
Thank you.
Senator McCain has finally, I believe, gone over the edge. With regard to, and I spoke to his office yesterday, he wants to cancel the funds for the F-22. Now, I talked to Senator Feinstein and Senator Boxer. They both oppose it. The president praised...
Wait, hold it. Feinstein and Boxer want the F-22 project kept going?
Exactly.
Well, wait a minute. I understand. The F-22 is the most advanced jet fighter in the world. We have how many of them now?
187.
187. How many are online to be built?
Actually, I think the program was going for 240, but don't quote me on that.
The Senate voted to cancel funding for the construction of any planes beyond the 240, right? Or to end it altogether?
Well, I think they ended funding past the 187 mark, and what Senator McCain wants to do is to transfer the funding from the F-22 to the F-35.
I understand. Now, here's what it comes down. Who builds the F-22? Is it McDonnell Douglas?
No, I don't. I think it's...
At the end of the day, John, it has little to do with national defense, and it has to do with which industry lobbyist paid Feinstein, Boxer, and McCain. What you have here are two competing aerospace entities buying congressmen and senators for their pet project. I don't know which one is better for America's defense. Do you?
No, I don't.
That's right. I don't either. I looked at the story. I read it in detail, and I came away shaking my head. Why would we need an F-35 instead of an F-22, I asked myself. What's better for the long term? My only concern right now is that we use none of our weapon systems anyway. In other words, what's the good of building another aircraft carrier if they won't fire a shot? What do we need another 100 jets for if they won't use them?
Our aircraft.
That's the problem. It's not the jets. It's the leadership. So I have more of a problem with creating General Pattons than I do with creating F-22s. Because you could have the finest weapons in the world, and if you have public relations men running the military, then the weapons are useless. Then a guy with a roadside bomb is a more potent enemy than anybody with a tank. And they know it, too. It's terrible what's going on in Afghanistan, what's leaking out, the amount of men dying there on a regular basis. Now, why are our men dying all of a sudden? Well, it's true that we've ramped up fighting in Afghanistan. And it's true that the enemy is not so fast to leave his own homeland. He's not leaving. He likes growing poppies. He likes the billions of dollars that he makes in selling opium around the world. So don't think that drug cartels are not involved in fighting our soldiers. You know, no one's talking about that. This is probably the largest drug war in the history of the world. And our military is involved in it. You got the Mexican government fighting the drug cartels in Mexico, and you got the U.S. military fighting the drug cartels in where? Afghanistan. Remember war for oil? This is war for heroin or what? What is it?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Elizabeth II can fix the mess that Jackie Smith and Gordon Brown have put me in. Fiscal ruin of the Western world beckons. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee backs a new equal rights amendment, citing Afghanistan and China as models as to how women should live. Michael Savage still banned in UK after all. Unseemly haste, thy name is Obama. Janet Napolitano Pick raised funds for Terrabacker. British Embassy confirms Savage still banned. Democrats baffled by Obama's health care stance. Shall I go on? There's a little bit more. American junior high students are going to Japan to apologize, seeking forgiveness for the U.S. atomic bombing. VA Tech gunman's mental records were found in the home of the university clinic's former director. He took them from the college and hid them. U.S. Muslim gave Al-Qaeda New York City subway information. That's correct. A U.S. Muslim. A U.S. Muslim gave Al-Qaeda New York City subway information, arrested in November as he was trying to kill our troops. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Obama's sinking approval is even worse than it looks. A PETA video shows ringling handlers beating elephants. But most important to me, because if I am not for me, who will be, is that Savage stands alone. The leftist media has been all over the case of Henry Louis Jr., Gates Jr., a black college professor at Harvard, who was suspected of breaking into a house in Cambridge. He was going through a window. A neighbor called and said a man is going through the window of a house. Now, although it has turned out that Professor Gates was just trying to get into his own house, he locked himself out, and he mouthed off at the policeman who asked for his ID and said, I'll get your mama or something like that. The neo-Marxist media has blown this out of proportion and made this case of Gates Jr. into the biggest thing since slavery. Cries of racism are now echoing across the media landscape. And yet here, Michael Savage, a white radio broadcaster, is banned by an entire Western nation, discriminated against by an entire nation. There is no one in the midstream media who's standing up and defending me. Why do they defend Gates and not Savage? Why? Why is that? It should affect them. And as I said to you in the last hour, my attorneys in England have discovered through the Freedom of Information Act some information that will be, I think, of worldwide importance. I cannot disclose it right now. I was going to, but I cannot do so. The documents have been released. There's over 40 pages of them. My lawyers and I went through them, and I can't tell you much about it other than this. I believe we have evidence that there are other U.S. broadcasters who have been excluded from the United Kingdom, but they were not named. And we're going to try to find out who they are. This is news, my friends. This is news, my friends. The very same people who have been attacking me may, in fact, be on the list with me. How would that turn out to be? How would that turn out to be? Are Men Obsolete is an article on michaelsavage.com from the American Thinker, written by Robin of Berkeley. Are men obsolete? She writes, when I snapped out of my left-wing trance last year, she said I was lost in space. I had no conservative friends and was clueless about websites and books, she writes. Oh, I heard something about talk radio. So I scanned my AM dial and found Michael Savage. It took several months in a chat with a rather bemused new friend before I even realized there were other hosts as well. She thought only PBS existed. Here's what she writes, though. Being a lifelong liberal, I'd never heard anybody like Savage in my life. He yelled. He called people vermin. He was unbridled masculinity, not the touchy-feely kind I was used to. And he totally accepted himself, his moods, passion, temper. But what shocked me the most was his saying that men have become feminized. I'd never been so offended. Well, what's wrong with men being more feminine? I shouted back at my radio. Is there something wrong with femininity? Men being way more in touch with their yin and less with their yang sounded good to me. I hadn't exactly been a big fan of masculinity. Like any good feminist, she writes, ranting and raving about men were two of my favorite pastimes. Men frightened me. Testosterone-fueled types like Michael Savage scared the bejesus out of me. I had good reasons, of course, given episodes of harassment and abuse. She said I couldn't tune Savage out, though, because he was the only game in town. Also, he was spot on about Obama, and his show was a rich tapestry of politics, philosophy, history, and religion, so I stayed glued. What a difference a year makes. Now I see Savage as a seer, warning us of the dangers we were in for men if men went the way of the dinosaur. I had thought taming men's animal nature was a win-win for everybody. Now I realize it was tampering with Mother Nature. And I have to wonder whether the feminization of men has been an unforeseen result of liberalism or some twisted scheme hatched by the left. In some ways, it feels paranoid to even go there, like I've watched too many sci-fi flicks. But at the same time, if Professor Bill Ayers and his ilk could plot infiltrating the schools with all things Marxist, why stop there? Why not engineer a designer man who would go along with the liberal flow? Step one, loosen men up through psychotherapy where they can get in touch with their inner child. Have them exchange their arms for drums. Then they can pound in the woods with groups of brothers. Teach them to reject logic and lead with their emotions. Idolize gayness, because after all, aren't gay men just XY versions of the superior women? Degrade anything masculine. marginalize and vilify the macho types like Savage by banning him from the UK. I'm not writing this. I'm only reading this. This is by Robin of Berkeley. Shall I go on? She goes on. She writes, hike up the costs of SUVs and trucks and squeeze men into deracinated cars like the Prius. Notice how prissy even the name sounds. Prius. Even better, herd them to work in buses and trains to save the planet and control them. Ask the question, as Maureen Dowd did in her best-selling book, answer in the negative by glorifying single mothers and supporting sperm donors. Why bother with a bossy husband when the government can put moms on the dole? And anyway, with gayness being the next big craze, there may be fewer straight men out there. On the horizon, making the notion of gender arbitrary anyway. Allow people free and easy access to sex change operations. I'll bet good money they'll be readily available under Obamacare. Free sex change operations in the Obama plan. Do you know about that, Nancy Pelosi? Allow children to choose their own sex. By the way, the fad is already in vogue and called gender neutrality. Parents don't inform their child of his or her or its gender and let the little mutant choose one. Even better, have your child be Bob one day and Becky the next. Another hot trend called gender fluid. It's already happening at a few San Francisco Bay Area schools, where bathrooms are unisex and children get to alter their gender as the mood strikes them. I'm not making any of this up. I'm reading you an article. The pièce de résistance of feminization wrecked the economy. If you want to cripple men, rob them of their life spring, their ability to provide for their family. No worries. The government will step in as a worthy substitute. And the final stroke of genius? Disempower the true symbols of masculinity, the military, police, and intelligence officers. Investigate them, sue them, protest them with riots in the street. Make them feel intimidated about doing their jobs. Require them to attend plenty of sensitivity workshops. So after decades of my going along like an automaton with the liberal program, I finally got it. As people like Savage have warned us about for years, tampering with gender is a disaster, and not just for men. Because society shrinks when we are forced to give up who we are, and we become shells of ourselves when we're robbed of our birthright, dignity, freedom, individuality. We become cloned people with this part and that part, never discovering who we are. We become what the Tibetans call hungry ghosts, tormented beings looking all over for happiness but never finding it because we've forgotten the only place it lives in our spirit, which is connected to forces beyond. We lose forever the knowledge of our true nature that we first glimpsed when we were knee-high, because the fact is that humans cannot, should not, fool with Mother Nature, shouldn't take nature in our hands and play God. To do so can unleash madness and danger, as we know from every horror movie. Because while we've been engineering a kinder, gentler man, much of the world has been doing the opposite. Countries like Iran and North Korea have been building nuclear weapons and poisoning their young men with hatred of the U.S. They have been making their men stronger, meaner, and better armed. Liberals, be honest with yourselves. In the end, if the worst-case scenario happens and we are attacked, who will you run to? Will you scream out for the Green Czar? Not all of us. No, not all of us, liberals and leftists, conservatives and feminists, will go where we will go where we have always gone from the beginning of time. We will search desperately for the big, strong men to protect us, the ones who have always had the guts, the courage, and yes, the cojones, to put their lives and limbs on the line. The question is, by then, how many will be left? Robin is a recovering liberal and psychotherapist in Berkeley. It can be found on The American Thinker or on michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back. All right, look, I've been very serious, you know, today. It's many of you don't want to hear it anymore. I mean, you need it up to a point. You can get it, you know, on the health care, you can get anywhere. The Dem Republican, you can get from any one of the, you know, flag waivers. I understand that. And many of you know where I stand politically, but you either love it or you don't love it and you put up with it because you like my sense of humor or the fact that I can wander into other topics. So if you wish me to wander into other topics, I can. I mean, I read you the article just now, Are Men Obsolete? I started by reading the article on How Only Queen Elizabeth II Can Fix This by Jennifer Hopper of Washington Times Inside the Beltway. I told you today that the Freedom of Information Act in England has been used by my attorneys to receive over 40 pages of documents which are going to set off shockwaves through the American and British media, but I can't disclose any of it right now. I believe that we have evidence that other U.S. broadcasters have been excluded, but we don't know who they are. We're going to try to find out if there are any and who they are, but we believe there are others on the list. Why they chose me only amongst the others is the real question. This borders on the Dreyfus affair. This borders on anti-white and anti-Semitic issues that we must discuss. It's much bigger than you may think. And you have to understand there's principles that are much larger. And I know you're all waiting for the Obama speeches. You should. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to listen to it. To me, it's not the sun standing still and the moon not moving. Obama giving a speech is like me going to the bathroom, as far as I'm concerned. In fact, if I can go to the bathroom, I feel better than I do listening to Obama's speech. It means nothing to me. He's a front man for interests that I'm not very interested in. Let's put it to you that way. You want me to go back to Isaiah? Here it is. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. You have strangers in Congress. They may as well be working for foreign governments. Who listening to this show can tell me you feel that Congress represents the American people and American interests? Now, how did this happen? Go to Isaiah. He wrote, "Our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly, thou have forsaken God. They have condemned the Holy One of Israel. They are turned away backward." Remember, I keep saying your hat's on backward. That was a metaphor when I said your hats are on backwards. "They are turned away backward. On what part would ye yet be stricken, seeing you stray away more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it." Sounds like America, doesn't it? "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it." You have a congresswoman who wants to expand the Equal Rights Amendment, and she says Afghanistan and China are the models of how women should be treated. Sheila Jackson Lee, surrounded by some of the meanest horse faces you've ever seen in your life. They want the women of America to look to Afghanistan and China as models of how women should be treated. You hear this? "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and festering sores," wrote Isaiah. "Your country is desolate, your land strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by floods." Of course, it is not desolate and overthrown by floods. We are not a besieged nation yet, are we? What's coming tomorrow, do we know? How did this faithful nation become a harlot? "She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers." How did this happen? "Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth bribes and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them." That's America today, or was it ancient Israel that Isaiah was writing about? Because if it is America today, we can pretty much know what's coming tomorrow. In fact, if you look at the Congress of today, you can see what's coming tomorrow because it's already come today. They bankrupted the financial system, and now they're about to add the coup de grace. We talked about bullfighting last week and how it should be outlawed, that the bull is tormented by the picadors, and then, of course, the bull is tortured by the matador and then stabbed with a sword through the heart until it lays there, this great, beautiful beast, and dies in such horror. America is like this bull. We, the American people, are the bull that has been tormented by the knaves in Congress. They are the picadors. Each day they stab us with another pick and make us wince with their acts against their acts of insanity. And now tonight, of course, the chief matador gets up and he waves the sword in front of us. Matador Obama gets up with the red cape and he waves the cape around with the sword underneath it. And we, the bull, are supposed to say, "Yes, master, we want you to put the sword through our heart." Yes, Master, we want to destroy the greatest medical care system the world has ever seen. Yes, Master, put the ring in our nose. Yes, Master, put us on your plantation of socialized medicine. Yes, Master, give us more. We deserve less.
Savage.
What's some music or something here? Albany, New York. Greg, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, Mike, I just want to tell you, I really believe that you are a gift from God.
Well, I don't know about that. I never met the gentleman. I'm hoping to meet him one day, not too soon, I hope.
Me neither. Hey, I think it was last week you had said you had a girl archiving some of your shows from years past.
Yes.
Are you going to make those available to people?
You know, it's probably a very good idea. I know many people would like to hear some of the classics and download them off the website, michaelsavage.com. This looks like a one-year job till we get them all archived. It's enormous.
I'm sure.
Thank you for the call. But I don't know about a gift from God. I haven't met the gentleman. I'm interested in him. Pretty, you know, fire and brimstone. When you read the Old Testament, it's fire and brimstone. Then the Christian Bible came along as the New Testament, and it was kind of more mild. There was much less judgment. That's why people don't like the Jews, really. I thought about that a long time. Want me to get into that? I want to give you my pet theory on that thing. Because, like, the Jews brought judgment to the world. Before that, you could fornicate with a monkey or a donkey or whatever. That's cool. What does Isaac do? I don't know. He likes donkeys. Nah, so what? Who cares? It's a donkey's a donkey. In other words, it was like San Francisco is today. Then all of a sudden, the Hebrew prophets come along after Abraham, and they start writing, like, you can't do this, you can't do that. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Don't turn this way, don't turn that way. And who the hell are you to tell me anything? So the world starts to resent the people of the book for bringing them God's word. What do you think? Everybody embraced it? The Romans, after all, threw Christians to the lions because they were bringing God's word to Rome, which was a decadent mess. And just as today, we have the same influences going on and the same struggle going on. We're turning away from being a nation that's even a modicum of a religious nation. We can't even say it's a religious nation. I'm no holy roller, don't get me wrong, but I grew up knowing about the red lights and the yellow lights and the green lights. I watched my step. I mean, I didn't always live up to it. I still don't, but I try. At least I know what's right and wrong. You say, well, how do you know what's right and wrong? How do you know that those old olive growers really knew what was right and wrong? Who's to say that they should be the judge? Well, you have to ask yourself, what would you have in a world without God? Tell me what the world will become of the world without God. We have examples. We have the ex-Soviet Union, where a man could be put into a concentration camp for no crime other than the government didn't like him. Are we far from that today? In some ways, we aren't. In some ways, we're not too far away from it. England was once a great Christian nation. Cathedrals of the most magnificent variety. The cathedrals are empty on Sunday in England. The bawdy houses are full. The pubs are full. The halls of parliament were once filled with men who respected their traditions. I don't think the respect is there for the past anymore. It's the same here. What do we have here? How long has it been since you've heard anything to do with God or morality coming from a Republican? We've given up on the Democrats. We know they're not a party of family values. They don't stand for anything other than expanding government and taxing people to death and turning us into serfs. So we don't look to the Democrats for that. But the Republicans at one point made a big deal. They trumpeted family values. Family values. That's all you heard from them. Have you heard one Republican refer to family values in the last, how long has it been? Not one word from any of them. Nothing about families, let alone family values. They too have forgotten that there is a moral imperative or a nation is finished. It's done. It's toast. It may as well be Well, that's a full sentence. There's no more. I don't have to add to it. I found out this, like, as a writer, sometimes you add the kicker and it destroys the whole sentence before it. That's a full sentence. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Healthcare plan, that's all you want to talk about. The airplanes. Nah, I don't think so. No, sir, Mr. Secretary, I do not want to talk about that. And no, sir, I am not going to listen to Obama in 20 minutes. I could care less. I had a very good bowel movement this morning, and that's sufficient for me for that experience. I absolutely do not need the nausea of watching the charlatan speak again. I've had enough of him. Phil, was that you laughing? You should have played that on the air. See, I told you to play the laughter on the air so people actually hear somebody listens and someone who works for me laughs. What is there to listen to with Obama? Why should I listen to him? What's he going to say that's so earth-shattering? You know what he stands for. A Cuban-style, Soviet-style, Canadian-style, English-style, you name it, healthcare system that will not be as good as the one we have. Are there excesses in the healthcare system today? Yes. Should all people be given medical care? No, they don't deserve it. You heard what I said, didn't you? Why should I pay for your health care? Tell me why I should pay for your health care. Can anyone listening to the show tell me why I owe you health care? I pay over 50% of my money in taxes. Every dollar I earn, I give you 50 cents. So you could be a big bum or a big smoker, a big drinker, a big drugger. I pay for you. I should pay more for you. And to top it off, the insult to injury, Obama wants me, him and Nancy Pelosi say, screw you, you're paying health care for illegal aliens. Everyone from Mexico who's here illegally, everyone from China who's here illegally, and their families, you'll pay for them. That's the kicker that's coming from these people. They want you to pay for illegal aliens' health care. I'll go back to my own life. Everything's in my life. My father was a single earner in a family. My mother was a homemaker, and she was a darn good one. And I realize how hard it is to really make a home. Wow. We were not latchkey children. She cooked meals. She was there when I came home. She didn't let me get into too much trouble when I was young. She was always there, always had a meal waiting, and always tried to talk to me. You know, it's funny. Who was I talking to? A Mexican guy the other day, a worker. And he said that we started to talk, you know, what our background is. I don't know how it came up. Oh, I said a friend of mine had a heart attack the other day. That's also thrown me off for the last few days. Larry, we wish you well, Larry. I hope you're listening to the show. May you have a speedy recovery. And it's really shaking me up because he's a healthy, athletic guy. And, you know, so I was talking to him about it. I said, you know, I'm a friend that had a heart attack. He said, you know, a lot of my friends died in their 40s from heart disease. I said, really? He said, yeah. He says, well, I think that they were heavily into drugs when they were young and it took its toll. That's not for Larry. That's not his thing. Believe me. But he was telling me that his friends were heavy into drugs. I said, well, how did you avoid them? I said, he didn't have a Mexican name, and I didn't know if he was Israeli, honestly, or Mexican. I couldn't tell. He said, well, I grew up in L.A., and a lot of my friends went heavily into drugs. I said, well, who stopped you from going there? He said, my mother always was there for me, and she, you know, cautioned me. I said, you know what's interesting? I said, my mother used to say to me when I was from the earliest time, she'd say to me when she saw the drug scourge around New York, she used to say, you know, Michael, she said, I think that people who use drugs a week, every day, like a raindrop on my head, over and over again. She would just say things like that to me. I don't know. She'd pick up the paper, like the Daily News. It was always a story that she could reflect on. And the news was like the Bible in a way. She'd hold it up and she'd see another person with drugs, another kid in trouble. She says, I don't know. She'd shake her head. To me, she would say, people who use drugs are just weak. I didn't understand what she was getting at. I didn't know. To me, anyone who used drugs was macho. I thought they were big men. Big men went to Canada and smuggled in drugs. Big men, they took LSD. Big men, they all amounted to less than my dog's droppings. All the big men, the big druggies, big men. But when we were kids, oh, they were the big men. Big man. He can smoke more dope than you can. Oh, big man. He can take more LSD than anyone. Oh, big man. Big man wandering around on Grant Avenue in North Beach. He can't buy himself a Heineken. Big man. The streets are still filled with them, the big man. Cafes are filled with the big men, the druggies. All Obamas. All Obama voters. Because they think Daddy Obama's going to give them a free ride. Everything they couldn't work for or wouldn't work for their whole life is coming from Obama. So she used to say to me, I think people who use drugs are weak. She was right. But when you're a kid, you think people who use drugs are cool and they're tough and they're strong and they're macho. And she was right. They're weak. They're the weak ones. They're empty inside. You understand this? I don't know how I got here, but here I am. Next, I will give you a cure for yellow teeth. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation, only the Queen from saving one from what they've done to me. I cannot read you the entire email from my UK attorneys. I will in the next few days, pending some furtherance and further instructions. I'm going to read you the opening paragraph. Michael Savage, we have finally received from the Home Office the response to the request we made under the Freedom of Information Act 2000 for various documents relating to your exclusion, a copy of which I attach, which I have paginated for ease of reference, together with the covering letter. Now, you're not going to believe what's in there, and I can't read it to you. I wish I could. I meant to. However, I will hint at it. We believe other U.S. broadcasters have been excluded but not named. We are going to try to find out if, in fact, others have been excluded, and if so, whom. There's much more. There's more in here that will make your hair stand up because it is racism, it is anti-Semitism at work, it is the worst that you could imagine was at work. It had almost nothing to do with what I said. It had everything to do with other things. And that's why I tell you there's much more at stake than you may believe. And that is what socialists do. That is what a labor government did. That is what happens when socialists take control. They want everything under their control. And that is exactly what the danger is with Obama, Rahm Emanuel, David Axelrod, and the others. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? We are in grave danger right now of losing our sovereignty and our nation itself. We have a military that is afraid to fire a shot when it comes to the Navy. How could Kim Jong-il be firing rockets and we do nothing? We ran a cruiser out there, could have destroyed all the launch pads. I didn't say start a war. I'm a rational, peace-loving man. You knock out the launch pads and say, now that's it, man. Just stop it. We did nothing. We have a Navy. What is it for? So when you see weapon systems that they want to build, I say, you know what? I used to be a big supporter of it. No more. Take your weapon systems and shove them. It's just more military-industrial complex greed. If you're not using what you have, why should I let you build more? Why should we, the taxpayer, fall for this malarkey that we need more weapons and better weapons and bigger weapons and stronger weapons? Tell me why, if we're not using any of them. Tell me why we need them for. We don't. So you say, well, the enemy might get ahead of us. They're a long way from getting ahead of us. What we need is leadership, not weapons. You got a guy with an IED willing to die planting it under a tank? That's more powerful than an F-22 Raptor that you're not willing to use. You understand this? They took one of our soldiers captured. They captured him, right? They captured a soldier. He's being held in Afghanistan somewhere. What do you do to get him back? You negotiate at The Hague? You go and beg somebody to give him back? I guess you could do that. That's one way. You can negotiate prisoner releases. You can pay a ransom, whatever it takes diplomatically. Or you could take 1,000 of them captive. And you could waterboard them. You could deprive them of ethnic meals. You know, there's a lot of things you can do to people if you want to get your soldier back. But apparently we have no will to protect even our soldiers, let alone our sovereignty. Instead, we have a government that is intent only on mulcting the public. M-U-L-C-T-I-N-G. Mulcting the public. Run that one by the hemorrhoid with ears. You can use it on a blackboard tomorrow. With chopsticks, you can scratch it on a blackboard. Mulcting the public. That's a big word. So what do you want to talk about, hey? I guess you're waiting to hear the great one give a malarkey job. Me? I'm not going to listen. I'm not listening. In fact, I'm going to leave the studio. I don't even want to hear it. I've heard it all before. I've heard it over and over again. I heard it when Castro came to power, when he used to be screaming, hasta la victoria, victoria siempre. Hasta la victoria siempre. I don't want Castro healthcare in America. I don't want Che Guevara running the healthcare system, if you don't mind. Have you recently been to Cuba for their health care? You notice when the bearded one got sick, Fidel Castro, he didn't use a Cuban doctor. He flew someone in from Spain who probably went to NYU Medical School. He didn't use a Cuban doctor. They're worthless. Well, why would you use a Cuban doctor? They're all inferior doctors, the way the Soviet Union produced doctors in the past. In the past, under the Soviet Union, everyone had medical care. It was worthless. That's why when the Russians come here, they raped the system. The Russians raped the medical system the minute they got here. Everything that was promised to them in Mother Russia, they didn't get. They got it when they came here. And do they milk it? Ask the doctors what they do to them. They yell at the doctors if they don't get the care that they think they're entitled to. You give me, or I sue. Give me free ambulance treatment. Drive me back and forth. Get me an attendant. I want 50 medications I can sell on the corner. That's the medical system? You want that reformed? Are you kidding me? You may as well just hang up the shingle right now. So don't say it's just going to go away because Obama's going to wave the magic wand, Froggy. It's not going to happen. I'm not listening to the Obama speech. He's nothing to me. He's just nothing but a con man doing a little sideshow for the powers behind him. Where'd this guy come from? Who is he? Can anyone listening to this show tell me you heard of him 2 years ago? Who was he 2 years ago? Oh, I'm sorry. He cured polio, and he parachuted into Iraq, and he assassinated Saddam Hussein. Right, I forgot. And then on the way back out of Iraq, he found the cure for leukemia. That's right. Then he went to Chicago, and he worked on the streets of Chicago to help the poor. Ah, that's right. That's who he is. He cured polio, cancer, and he turned water into wine. That's right. I forgot. What he's doing now in America is turning wine into water. He's turning bread into molecules. The man is reversing the entire flow of the United States of America. Everything that's good, he wants to take back and turn it the other way. Everything that's good, he wants to make bad. Everything that was done, he wants to undo. If he could, he'd take the buildings down in the country and to redistribute the bricks and the mortar. That's what he's doing. Trickle up poverty. Make no mistake about it. You will be poorer, not richer. 50% of the people who work in this country pay no taxes. The other 50% pay 80% of the taxes. The top 1% pay 80% of the taxes. So where is he going to go? He's going to go to the rich, meaning those who actually produce and have businesses and hire people. And so what's going to happen is those of us who are in the top 1% are going to stop giving to charity, and they're going to stop hiring people. They're going to stop taking risks to build new businesses because it just ain't worth it. You understand how it works? Apparently, the communists in the Obama regime don't understand this. Apparently, David Axelrod, who never ran a hot dog stand in New York, doesn't get it. Apparently, Henry Waxman, the guy with the big nostrils, who never met a payroll, doesn't understand it. Apparently, Nancy Pelosi, the richest woman in Congress, doesn't understand it, and I don't know how. I don't understand how the richest woman in Congress would want to tax her friends on Pacific Heights, and they all go, yay. I don't understand that part of it, other than all of her friends and cronies are going to get so much richer from the contracts and the VIG coming back down from the money that the amount of tax they're going to pay is going to be wiped out by the 10 times more they're going to earn through the contracts. I don't really understand how it works. All I know is it's not good. That's all I know. So I'm not going to listen to the con man. As I said, I went to the bathroom this morning once, and that was enough. I don't need another experience because to me it's all been heard before. And now, Ray, a little traveling music. Play a little traveling music. Let's see what you have.
Chicago, Chicago.
This is in honor of Rahm Emanuel. Chicago by way of Tel Aviv.
Chicago,
David Axelrod, Chicago by way of Karl Marx.
I love it.
Barack Hussein Obama, Chicago by way of Jakarta.
Chicago,
yes, Frankie, sing it.
The town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down.
What are you going to find when he's not a citizen? Then what? What's that going to do?
Street,
an illegal alien runs America? He may as well be an illegal alien from Mars for the way he's running America. He's the least American president in American history. Doesn't matter where he was born. He's ruling as though he's from another country. He's reversing everything in America that's American. Sing it, Frankie. You saw it a long time ago. Go ahead.
Chicago, my hometown. Chicago, Chicago.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. And now, in the next ring, the con man in chief. Get ready. Here he comes. Ta-da-da-da, ta-da.
Savage. Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You know, the leftist media has been all over the case of Henry Louis Gates Jr., a black college teacher who was legitimately suspected of breaking into his own house in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He was going in through a window. Someone called the police. Now, it turned out that although Professor Gates was simply trying to get into his own house, the neo-Marxist anti-white media has made this into the worst thing since slavery. Cries of racism are echoing across the media landscape. Of course, this is to help Obama. And yet when I, Michael Savage, a white conservative radio broadcaster, have been discriminated against by an entire nation, there is no one in the midstream media who will stand up and defend me. What does that tell you? The bottom line is this. None of the empty suits and empty skirts are willing to criticize a black college professor who verbally abused a police officer before he was arrested because they're afraid of being called a racist. And there is no one in the leftist media who is willing to take up the cause of Michael Savage for fear of being called a rabid right-winger. So we now know that the British government, in spite of acknowledging that Jackie Smith's policy of a name and shame list, which included me, Michael Savage, on a list of terrorists and real murderers, we now know they've refused to reverse the ban on my coming into their nation. And on this side of the Atlantic, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has refused to lift a finger to take any action to have me, an American citizen, removed from this damn list. So what's the next step? Well, we need you to call upon the few conservative members of Congress, if indeed there are any left, to get a letter-writing campaign to Hillary Clinton and President Obama and demand that they exert pressure on the British government to have my name removed from that list of murderers. If no action is taken, if no letters are written, if even the most so-called conservative representatives, can you name any, and senators, refuse to take action at that point, then we will know for sure that we are without any representation whatsoever. The reason you're tuning into the Savage Nation is because of the fact that on Saturday night, there was a story that appeared in Britain saying that the ban on Michael Savage, in essence, you think it said that had been lifted. That Michael Savage's name has been lifted from the banned in the UK list. Well, that's not what the article said. It is not at all what the article said. Some reports in the United States, based on the piece in the Daily Mail on Sunday morning that the ban on Michael Savage had been lifted, are untrue. The article doesn't say that at all. But I want to back up and tell you that I am heartened to a certain extent by the movement in this direction. What happened Saturday night was this. And incidentally, you can read the article on michaelsavage.com, those of you near a computer. Go to it. You can't find it anywhere else. Let me give you the background on this. Saturday night, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. Michael is having a vodka and grapefruit juice. Michael is pondering the view of San Francisco Bay. Michael is thinking about things. Phone rings. Joe Farah, his friend and colleague from WorldNet Daily, says, "Have you seen the article that was just posted?" Michael's heart thumped. He said, "Oh, God, no, more bad news." I said, what, more bad news? He said, no. He said, they're dropping the list of those banned from traveling to the UK, including you and including everyone else on the list, including the Hamas murderers. I said, well, okay, that's not a good sign, but at least I'm free. He said, well, what are your reactions? Here were my reactions to Joe Farah Saturday night. One, I am stunned. Two, I'll believe it when I see it. And three, I want a letter of apology. Those are exactly my positions right now. But as a matter of fact, many of my friends and colleagues sent me emails congratulating me, saying, "Savage, you struck a great blow for freedom of speech. Thanks for fighting. Thanks for having the fortitude. Thanks for standing up to the to Jackie Smith. Thank you for getting your name off the list and for standing for freedom of speech, even for liberals who you detest and who detest you." I wish it was all true. I wish I could say we're going to celebrate today, but we can't celebrate quite yet because we haven't seen it in writing. All we saw was a report from the Daily Mail that said that the Home Secretary ditches least wanted list as a blunder. That was the article. The way it was reported on the Drudge Report was a little different. Savage travel ban lifted by UK. He's free to travel to England. Well, I don't know if I'm free. I've been invited to give a big speech there, I believe, by one of the major debating societies at one of the major universities. I had not intended to go to England. I might go to England if the ban is lifted. And they'll find out that I'm a very humane, sane man who is concerned about not only freedom of speech for myself, but for my political opposition, and also for the threats to the survival of Western nations owing to radical Islam and the inroads being made by radical Islamists in Britain, the United States, France, and Germany. Those are facts of reality. There's nothing new in what I have said. And so over the weekend, as I said, the British newspaper, the Daily Mail, reports that Home Secretary Alan Johnson, who is the man who replaced Jackie Smith, is planning to end the policy of, quote, naming and shaming people banned from Britain. This does not mean that I, Michael Savage, have been taken off England's ban list. It does not mean that I have been taken off a list which includes murderers and terrorists. Doesn't mean that at all. But I think that the British government understands that Jackie Smith was a loose cannon, whatever. Putting my name on a list was a gimmick. And making it impossible for me to travel to Britain was a huge mistake for the people of Britain and for the government of the Labour Party. And so they're on the right track. But it really is about you. It's about a case of one man and my devoted audience of listeners who would not be intimidated, would not be bullied, and would not go gentle into that good night. Yeah, I was banned by a major Western country. I still may be banned. I don't know. But this is a fight that I and my listeners have been waging. Now, there are some in the media who realize the threat to freedom of speech and spoke out about my case over the last 3 months. You know, I look in my yard right now and my tomatoes are coming up in the fruits now are red. And the pears are starting to become ripe. This whole thing started when I put the seedlings in the ground. You say, well, it's only 3 months. It's been 3 months of hell. 3 months of hell. 3 months of fearing that next I'd be banned in another country, then another country, then another country, and I'd wind up a man without a country. And I believe that this has been orchestrated by the United States government in the Obama administration because they would never do a frontal assault on talk radio. Instead, they try to use me as a canary in the mine shaft to see what would happen by going around the back door and trying to defame me with sound bites taken out of context. There were some in the media who realized the threat to freedom of speech and spoke out about my case. Hosts such as Laura Ingraham, Rusty Humphries, and Jerry Doyle spoke out strongly in my defense. Even Bill O'Reilly, my antagonist, though he did it grudgingly, spoke out against my being banned from England and what it really meant. But there are others who are the real ones who should be named and shamed. Here in the United States, where was the U.S. State Department? Where was the so-called Defender of Liberties, the ACLU, when we needed them? And what about those conservatives in the media who wrapped themselves in the flag, who said nothing? Well, I'll let you decide. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Last summer, I wrote Psychological Nudity, which were all of my radio stories, One-Armed Frank, etc. I'm going to take requests of which story you would like me to read to you of the Michael Savage radio story list, the playlist, for a little bit before we get back to politics. I'll read one. Here's one. I like Walter Cronkite and Purgatory of Manhood by Cyanide. So here's what I wrote. Who did I actually like in mainstream news? Let me just run on this for a minute. I did like Walter Cronkite because he had a deep voice and a mustache. He reminded me of an Italian dentist that I knew in the Bronx. You always had to behave yourself when you were around guys with mustaches like that because they could do weird things to you if you didn't. Cronkite was a very authoritative man, and how he presented the world is how I thought the world was. I might be eating steak and French fries and cherry vanilla ice cream in a TV tray, building up my negative cardiac profile while Dad was working. I'd be watching Cronkite. I had no idea what he was talking about. You see, kids don't really know what the news is, nor does the average adult really pay that much attention. I think we give media people too much power by thinking people really listen to their every word. Every time they put out another fib, I became incensed. Oh, look what they said. Look at the phony poll about Obama. But the fact is that they don't have that much direct influence on the average person. I get excited because I can see what they're doing, but do you? Dad would walk in at 6:30 at night, white from a day in the store. He might just have fought his way home through a snowstorm in his big green DeSoto. And here is his number one son getting fat, watching television, eating steak and cherry vanilla ice cream. He's starving and there's no food for him. I don't have to tell you what flashed through his eyes, my eyes, my mother's eyes, and the dog's eyes. He never thought I'd amount to anything. The arguments we would have, my God. You're ruining the kid. Look what you're doing. You're making him soft. You've got to make a kid hard, he used to yell. Look what you're doing to the kid. You're making him a weakling. He'll never amount to anything. He's soft. Look at him. Over there eating that steak and ice cream. He was probably starving at that point. He got home with the slush and galoshes, snow over the top, and his worst nightmare came true. His wife was catering to his son. Then I go on. The guy comes back from the hunt, and what's going on in the cave? The woman he is married to is cooking for the child who has done nothing that day but go to school and look at girls. So it was soon thereafter that the whole soft life came to an end. No more ice cream, no steak, no TV trays. I was forced to go into his store's basement on Ludlow Street to clean bronzes. That's the beginning of my purgatory and my manhood. You know, this is very good writing. I was too close to it last year to realize how good this is. This is as good as the... You see why I like The Sopranos and Mad Men? I have a flavor. I'm editorializing now. I'm reading my own book like new. It's good writing because it's simple, basic. I grew up reading real writers like Hemingway, who wrote... See, he was a journalist first, and he taught me to write as succinctly as possible. Then when I was studying to be a scientist, I learned scientific writing to write scientific papers, and the first rule was succinct, as few words as possible to get your ideas across. Anyone can write long sentences and the herefore, theretofore, and then that's not the way to write. So I said, that's the beginning of my purgatory, my manhood. It says it like straight out, you know? I was cast down into the cellar where I used cyanide solution to clean bronze statues of their gorgeous patina. The statues were gorgeous. I learned a lot about art because I stared at them all day long. Now you may say, what do you know about art? Well, I know quality from junk, artistry from fakery. The rest is a matter of taste. Now, let's analyze that line together. Look what I just wrote. What do you know about art? I know quality from junk, artistry from fakery. The rest is a matter of taste. That sentence is succinct and it says it all. Anyway, so I'll go back to the book. So these figures would come in with a brown or black patina, which is the result of oxidation over time. The patina was sublime, but the nouveau who were buying the figures to turn them into lamps wanted them to glitter like gold. Underneath the patina was the original bronze metal. I'll take that, I'll turn it into a lamp, mount the thing, blah, blah, blah. They'd buy it and a certain number would be left for the weekend that I'd have to clean down in the basement, down into the dirty, horrible, dank dungeon, filled with huge old wine barrels, a toilet from hell, no mirror on the wall except the shattered shards speckled from the acid that hit it. I'm down there from a young age with a toothbrush, scrubbing away at the patina. I don't really know if the cyanide was that bad. If it was, I'd be dead by now, I think. Perhaps it protected me from something. Hey, Dad, explain to me how I can use cyanide, since I understand from basic chemistry that they use cyanide balls at San Quentin. They put a guy in the chair and strap his head over the bucket and the pellets drop in. Then the gas comes up and he's dead in a few seconds. Dad, why would you put me in a basement with cyanide pellets to clean bronzes? Here's the answer now. This is right out of the Bible. I couldn't believe it. Took me 30 years to figure this out. This was a repetition of Abraham and Isaac. You see, Abraham picked up the knife and God said, slay your son. He didn't even ask, my son? You sure you mean my son? Your son, I want him dead. All right, I'm a good guy, I'll kill my son for you. He grabs the kid, grabs him by the neck, like an Islamo-fascist, and is about to cut his throat when God says, wait, I was just kidding, I was only testing you. Now, no one ever talked about what that did to Isaac. The father he trusted suddenly grabs him by the neck and wants to cut his throat. You know, all you hear about is Abraham was so loyal and listened to God. But what did it do to Isaac? It drove him nuts. He never trusted anyone after that. His own father wanted to cut his throat because he was listening to someone in the sky. So now I'm in the basement, and he says to me, you're going to clean bronzes because you're going to become a man. I'm going to make you tough. You got to do something, blah, blah, blah. And you're going to use these pellets. Here's a big barrel of them. I get them from a chemical supply store. You drop them in water, and then you dip in your brush and wash the bronze, and the black comes off, and it looks shiny again. The customer wants the shiny statue for a lamp. So I say to him, how do you know it's not going to kill me? Here's what Abraham says to me. I mean, in the modern day story, he says, because there's a potassium salt of the cyanide and a sodium salt of the cyanide. But here's the kicker. Dad doesn't tell me which one kills and which one dissolves patina, which is exactly why I went into science and medicine and chemistry to find out whether he was trying to knock me off or not. I'm sorry. This is good writing. I'm sorry. This is good. Nobody else would do this except Louis from the Bowery, the one with the monkey. We get rubber gloves on up to our elbows and drop these white pellets into water, then turn it into a cyanide solution. Then we take the brush and rub the figure until the patina came off the bronze. I'm rubbing. It would take you an hour or two to do each statue. Rub, rub. I'm a kid. I'm rubbing. And what I'm thinking about is where I'm going that night. I'm going out on a date or to hang out with my friends, or I'm going to a movie. Meanwhile, my face would be getting blotched, and I'm rubbing and cleaning in what's like a Dickens basement. So I get into high school chemistry years later, and I told my teacher what I was doing. I was using cyanide balls. My father had a huge chemical supply. It was not used for anything but this. I said to the teacher that I use these cyanide balls for cleaning statues, for cleaning solution. Teacher said, what? It's poisonous, but don't get worried. There's a sodium cyanide, and there's a potassium cyanide salt. Now, to this day, I don't know which one kills you. If you're a doctor reading this or listening to this on the Savage Nation or a trained scientist, I want you to think about what I'm going to say. Is it possible that inhaling the fumes that didn't kill you outright in some way mitigated against the oxidation of fatty foods powering through my arteries? I have a pet theory that in some way, although it blotched my face, it built up my immunity to something. I know it did. I just don't know what. So that story is found in Psychological Nudity by Michael Savage. Great story. Worthy of a movie. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Even though the mainstream media in the United States is trying not to mention me, there are a few people out there who are actually standing up for what's right and reporting on this vicious attack on me and on freedom of speech. One such person is Arthur Brazzoni with Examiner.com, who has an article linked on MichaelSavage.com in which he personally called the British Embassy to get the truth about why I was banned and how he found out that my name is still listed with murderers and terrorists. Arthur Brazzoni, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Dr. Savage, for having me on your program. I'm honored.
Arthur, what drew you into my story?
As a journalist, I had to be concerned, and I have to be concerned about any attempts to restrict free speech. And the fact is, as you know, Dr. Savage, this has been going on for about 2 or 3 years. It really began with Hillary Clinton's and Bill Clinton's claim of a right-wing conspiracy. And they've moved on to take action with their pocketbooks, and others have, to form various organizations to attack talk radio, especially conservative talk radio. And so I have been watching the issue carefully. I think it's probably the most important right that we have at this point, because if they silence opposition, which I believe they would like to, then we all lose, and the strengthening of their power becomes almost absolute. Almost every dictator that we know of in the last 50 years has managed to silence the opposition by using a form of fairness doctrine, whatever its ways, whether it's in Cuba or in Venezuela. It's always under the garment of fairness. So I have watched it and been concerned, and when you were banned in England, there was something clearly going on there. We don't know exactly what happened, but it's clear that somebody or some organization provided the kinds of tapes that took you out of context, which is a very, it's harmful to your creativity to be taken out of context, because Michael Savage, in my opinion, is much like a jazz musician. You can't take a piece out of a jazz solo and get the full context of what's going on. And that's what they did. And I believe there were forces at work that have been trying to stifle free speech and conservative free speech because they know how powerful it is. So I've watched the issue, I've been writing about it, and I will continue to.
So researching the story, you called the British Embassy directly?
I called the British Embassy and talked to the press representative, Brandon O'Grady, on the record. He indicated to me that the ban is still in place on all of the 16 individuals, including Michael Savage. And I pushed him further because I asked him if Michael Savage attempted to enter Great Britain right now, what would happen? And Americans don't need visas to get it, and vice versa, don't need visas. But he would be stopped in immigration, detained, and sent back, not allowed into Great Britain. And he had gotten an update report from the British Home Office yesterday. So that ban is still in place. In other words, the battle is not over by any means. I do believe that you have total disarray in the British Home Office. As you know, there's been a transfer of power as a new secretary, and I imagine they have many, many issues to deal with, including terrorism issues. And they may have just simply blown this by giving some indication to someone who knew someone at the Daily Mail. If you read the article in the Daily Mail carefully, it doesn't say that that they had contacted the British Home Office. They said they had been told that the British Home Office was going to change Michael your status and that you'd be able to enter Great Britain. But that is not the case. So this battle is far from over.
You mentioned the Clintons before. Just who do you think is behind this ban?
Well, I don't think there's any one group behind it, and I believe there are so many forces at work here. If you look at sites like Media Matters and other organizations that MoveOn.org, this is an array of organizations that are being funded by some very wealthy individuals, several of them coming from here in San Francisco, and I believe that the style of Media Matters, not that I'm accusing Media Matters, but their style is to take excerpts and tapes, short tapes, short clips, and place them on their website. In fact, they got into trouble because they are a nonprofit research organization, and when they're doing fact-finding or fact-checking, they're perfectly within their limits. But when they start to opinionate and place clips on their website to infuriate their side, they've actually crossed the line, and they've had to repudiate that in a couple instances. And so their style is to provide clips of talk show hosts very carefully edited. And that's precisely what the Home Office in Britain must have received, because if they had actually listened to the full interview or text of your comments, they would have seen that they are very different, especially your comments after the 9/11. You can't take your emotional and proper response to that if you don't listen to the entire show. And that is the style of Media Matters, and I think they've stepped back from doing that now. I'm not saying the Media Matters provided those tapes, but I think that it certainly is in their style providing tapes like that. And if it's true that there had been no discussions between British and U.S. officials prior to the ban, then it must have come from private sources. And it certainly wasn't within England, because your program does not air there.
Well, this story is monstrous overseas, but barely heard about here. Where do you think it goes from here? Will the American media finally understand how big this is?
Well, first of all, let me say this. This is probably the first instance where radio as a medium has actually prompted a serious debate and concern over free speech. We've seen reports in the other medias, the television reports, that have influenced policy, have changed policy. But I think it's the first time that a talk show host and a radio program could actually become the issue. And more importantly, it's not just the issue of what you say in free speech, but it's an issue of how you say it. It's an attempt to regulate the emotional impact of the kinds of concepts and discoveries you make about this country and the world. And I believe that this battle, I think, is fortunate that we're waging it in another country, because it was a preempting of an attempt, clearly an attempt, to close down your program and other programs through community councils. The Fairness Doctrine was going to be enacted until it was shut down recently, but it may come back, through community advisory councils that would be assigned to each radio station in the country. And these community advisory panels, their decisions about what is fairness in representing the community where the radio station was located would have been the vehicle to basically force radio stations like yours off the air, because it wouldn't have been commercially valuable. Liberal talk radio has been a total and complete and utter failure, and it would have been the end of conservative talk radio. Your station and other stations would have to make a decision about what they were going to do with the format. So this battle being waged in Britain is actually quite good for us, because it shows the U.S. officials, U.S. senators and Congress, what the impact might be if they attempt to try to regulate not only free speech, but how you express free speech. And your style is one that is unique, and it can't be categorized, and it can't be separated from what you're saying. And you can't regulate that either. And there, obviously, as you've said, you would have been long brought before court if your free speech was inciting to riot or violence. You wouldn't be on the air at this point.
Arthur Brazzoni, thanks for keeping up with the story, and thanks for being on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
No one's even talked about the quality of the doctors that we're going to have. They keep talking about, will health care be available? And will it be like Canada or Britain? Well, I'd say it could be also like Cuba. It's not entirely going to melt down. I talked to my doctor the other day, and I asked him. He said he thinks that he's still going to be able to practice. He is a man, distinguished gentleman, who ran a whole department at a major league university. He said, and I don't know the ins and outs of it. I really don't. We had an expert on last week who said that you won't be able to change your doctor going forward. No one really knows. Let's put it to you that way. He told me, and he's a very nice man, that the reason Hillary Care failed is because it eliminated private doctors. You had to go through a government plan. And he said that the Obama medical plan is different in that you are allowed to keep your doctor. Now, I don't know if that's true, because I heard one thing last week and I heard another thing from my distinguished doctor friend yesterday. I don't know what's true. That's part of the problem. If the plan is sound and it's good, they should wait 6 months until everyone had a chance to look through it, take out the obvious flaws, take out the spending insanities, and okay, go with it if that's what you want. Certainly don't give illegal aliens health care. What sense does that make? Who ever heard of giving health care to illegal aliens? I never heard of anything like this. Oh, sure, we're throwing that into. Why? Because we need their votes? So I don't know what the truth is with regard to whether you can keep your doctor. Nobody knows. You know, nobody really knows. There's other stories we could talk about as well. It's terrible what's going on in Afghanistan, what's leaking out, the amount of men dying there on a regular basis. Now, why are our men dying all of a sudden? Well, it's true that we've ramped up fighting in Afghanistan. And it's true that the enemy is not so fast to leave his own homeland. He's not leaving. He likes growing poppies. He likes the billions of dollars that he makes in selling opium around the world. So don't think that drug cartels are not involved in fighting our soldiers. You know, no one's talking about that. This is probably the largest drug war in the history of the world, and our military is involved in it. You got the Mexican government fighting the drug cartels in Mexico, and you got the U.S. military fighting the drug cartels in where? Afghanistan. Now, while we've been talking about the mainstream media's failure to follow up on this huge story of free speech and me being banned from England, one of the people who actually is following my story is Rich Big Vinny Lieberman from the left-leaning SF Gate. He joins us now to talk about why he is following my story. Rich Lieberman, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thanks for having me on, Michael. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Why did you want to write about my being banned from Britain?
Well, I just think that one of the religions that I find to be ingrained is that no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I believe you have a right to say it. You know, as a Jew, I remember the horrific things taking place in Skokie. And as much as I detested the Nazi Party, as much as I think they're a bunch of freaks, as much as I detest any form of racism and out-and-out bigotry, I say the right to freedom of speech, once we start clamping down on that, then we set ourselves up for something far more sinister down the road. And I don't want to be in that arena. I don't want to be a part of that essence. I think the essence of democracy is to let people, even as nutso as Nazis and Islamo-fascists and anybody, everybody's got a right, as long as you don't overtake that right. I think everybody has a right to talk. One of the things I like about you, Michael, is the fact that, first off, you make me laugh. I think part of the problem out there, not the real problem, but there are a lot of people out there who say a lot, they do a lot, and then they really don't do anything. And I think your show, it kind of transcends all those other imitators. I listen to a guy like Hannity, who is kind of, in the whole context of everything, irrelevant. He doesn't have the passion that you have. He has passion, but his show is boring. It's the same mail-it-in show every day. O'Reilly, although he begrudgingly supported you, most of his stuff, again, is fairly predictable. And every time he has on that idiot Bernard Goldberg, it makes me yawn. Same thing with the Levins of the world and all these other people. I know there were some folks that came out and supported you. I listen to you. I think you're funny. I think that you provide a very funny element to a side, frankly, that I don't always agree with. And some of your politics I don't always agree with, but you make it entertaining to listen to. And when it involves something like free speech and what the United Kingdom has apparently still has you on that ban list, it's outrageous. And for these other so-called people who wrap themselves around the flag and make it appear as if that they're trying to defend you, they haven't said a word. It's absolutely hypocritical. Where are these people? If not for a guy like you, then these guys, a lot of these guys, wouldn't even have shows. And so they, to me, on the one hand, come out stridently for freedom of speech and this and that, but were very, very silent when it involved you. You, frankly, are not the issue. It's what you represent, your ideas, and it's the freedom of speech is the issue here. So I think it's tremendously hypocritical that these people have not come out and supported you. It speaks volumes. It really does.
Just for the record, you have been getting hate mail simply for writing about me?
I have, and I'm not coming out to ask for any kind of sympathy. Look, you write some things are not going to be very popular, and if doing something or broadcasting or writing, if you're looking to get friends, then you're just simply a lackey. So yes, there are issues that you take that the far left. I'm not really on the far left. I'm not in the far right. I've become more conservative because this world, I understand now that this world is not the kind world that we all think it is. It's not just since 9/11. We have a whole pedigree of individuals and groups that don't like our lifestyle, don't like the way we live. And so, yes, having listened to you and having heard your opinions, some of which I've disagreed with quite passionately, I do think that your form is very healthy for the dialogue, for the debate. And yes, I came out and supported you. That doesn't mean I support everything you say. But in doing so, I received a ton of hate mail and email and venomous, particularly from individuals on the left and the right, I may add, but mostly on the left. I mean, like I said earlier, the heart and soul of democracy and the essence of it is resistance and being able to agree to disagree. You know, maybe I'm naive. Maybe I just woke up yesterday. But for God's sakes, I mean, let's respect the other side. And if we agree vehemently with the other side, okay, talk about it, write about it. You know, pen a letter, write an email. You know, get active. Go out there and do something. So, yeah, I expected it. I didn't expect the kind of voluminous amount of email that I got. A lot of it was hate. So it's given me repause. It's given me a chance to think about how some people on the left, you know, they can dish it out, but they can't take it. I'm very disgusted with that, quite frankly.
Where do you think this is going to go?
Well, apparently, this story still has legs. You know, I mean, as long as the United Kingdom still has you on that list, however artificially it is, I believe that, you know, this is not going to go away anytime soon. And I listen to you and know that you are still quite not ready to celebrate, but it'll be interesting to see as the events go on when and if you come off that list. And I know that I believe you when I heard you saying that people were thinking you were doing this for publicity and so forth, and many people still believe that, and I happen to think you have not done that. I think your ratings were pretty good beforehand. And that's my business. I read all the trade papers. I know what ratings are about. I know who listens to whom and so forth. So I don't believe you're doing it for notoriety or for publicity. I believe deep in my heart of hearts, for whatever reason, what you have stated and how this has put you in sort of a bad light. So I guess we won't know what takes place in the future, but I imagine eventually you're going to get off that list, and then we'll react as we do.
Rich, where can we find your articles?
Well, Michael, I'm on sfgate.com. That's sfgate.com, and all they have to do is type in either Rich Lieberman or Big Vinny, and they will find my link. I also do a lot of other things, but mostly confined to politics and assortment of potpourri.
Rich Lieberman, thanks for standing up for truth and for being a decent liberal. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.